Anyway, so I really hated it. I really hated ever discouraging anybody. So I said, Lord, get this out of my heart. Get this out of my heart. So I went and looked up some scriptures on it, okay? Wow, wait till you see the, let's start with the scriptures on confidence and think about if discouragement, and let me say, it doesn't have to be a person who discourages you. Life situations can discourage you. If you think you're a mighty man and woman of God and the enemy comes in and throws one at you, you could really become discouraged, right? You could really what lose confidence in God. You could really lose confidence in God being able to use you. Does anybody get what I'm saying? Okay, because y'all are really quiet. Okay, give me a like a amen if you get this or something. Okay, all right. So the cool thing is, this isn't just part of life. We can get free from this and live without this, and have our confidence. So let's look at some scriptures on confidence. Let's just go to Ephesians 3:12. This is Paul speaking. I'll start at Ephesians 3. Because of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, the nations, if indeed that you heard of the stewardship of the grace of God given to me for you, that by revelation he made known to me the mysteries, as I wrote before in brief, by reading of which you're able to recognize my understanding in the mysteries of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, but is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit. For the nations are to be joint heirs and joint body and joint sharers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. For those who are like, what is she talking about? Paul is talking to Jewish people, and he is saying, hey, I'm going to tell you a mystery. God told me about this. He's going to let non-Jews know him, get born again of his Spirit, and become heirs also to the things of God. Right, that's what he's saying. He says, I was made a minister according to the grace God gave me as a gift and by the working of God's power in me. This grace was given to me. And this, he says, look, I have this grace. So Paul's talking to all of us. Paul's saying, look, I have this grace. What's this grace? He raises the dead, heals the sick, opens blind eyes, preaches the gospel, understands, has relationship with Jesus Christ. He goes, this grace was given to me. And he goes, and I am really less than the least of all the saints. He said, because Paul killed Christians before Paul got saved. And so Paul's going, look, if God could give me grace and I'm worse than any saint, he said, oh, it's like, you know, God's going to give you grace too. He said, I've been given grace to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the nations. When he talks about nations, he wasn't sent to the Jewish people, he was sent to the non-Jewish people. He said, I'm to bring to light what is the fellowship of this mystery that's been hidden from eternity in God, the one who creates all things through Jesus Christ, so that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, it might be made known through the assembly, the manifold wisdom of God. The mystery of God that Paul had, that he had grace to share, was that God was going to put his Spirit inside of human beings and reveal the wisdom of God even to the demons, even to the angels, even to principalities. God was going to make man have true authority on the earth. This was a mystery. The Old Testament saints never, ever, ever, ever thought and had a concept. They knew a Messiah was coming, but they had no idea that God was not only coming in the form of Jesus Christ, but that he was then going to send his Spirit, his actual Spirit, his living, powerful, mighty, awesome Spirit into people. Don't ever, ever let the devil take your confidence if you're born again. I don't care what situation you are in. God lives inside of you by his Spirit. And it's Satan wants to steal your confidence so you look like everybody else in the world. And so it becomes self-righteous, hidden knowledge that turns everybody off. You won't turn people off when you go and you pray for somebody and they get healed. Marlon wrote or has contacted me, and they're just seeing so many miracles. And they saw, he just wrote me yesterday, and we went to this meeting in the Philippines, and they got these little cabins. And what did Nila, what did you invite about 50 people, and you got three cabins that are supposed to sleep four piece? And I'm like, what are you doing? So I go and buy all these. It was probably maybe 15 people. However, it was a lot. So I go and buy the extra cabins because I'm not going to sneak people in on my cabin. So anyway, we're all in this cabin, and we've got these people there who don't believe in the power of God. They're Christians, but their doctrine is that God, there's really no such thing as demons, especially in people, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not trying to cast out a demon. I'm not trying to show off God's power or anything. We just happened to go in. This one woman, they may even be watching, but she had a horrific childhood. In the Philippines, if the father fathers children with another woman besides his wife, they like start second families, some of them. And if they don't claim the children do not get any access to the public school systems, to anything. They're like almost nobodies. And so this girl's father would not claim her because she was what they call the second family. This was really his mistress that he had her. And he would never claim her so that she could go to school and things. So her mother's father, her grandfather, claimed her so that she could go to school and everything. And he gave her his name. So she really loved this grandfather. And she lived with this grandfather and his wife and her mother. They all lived there. But she loved him. Well, when certain extremists moved into their area, they would come and they would demand that he give them a certain amount of rice and stuff. Like, if you want to live, it's kind of like where you hear people say, you know, in the mafia or something, if you don't give this amount of money, you give them money to make them leave you alone. Talk about bullying, you know. So all this man had was a certain amount of rice. And so when they would come, they demanded a certain amount of his rice. Well, the one time they came, he did not have the rice. And he said something, I don't know the whole story, but like, I can't give it to you. And they shot him right in the face, right in front of this 9-year-old girl. And she said she remembered dragging him up the stairs to try to get him back in the house where she could try to help him. And she began to cry. And we're all in this little tiny cottage in this little, what they call a resort in the Philippines, and we would call camping in cottages in America. But our swimming pools have chlorine. Theirs do not. We only have 89 degree weather. They have 120 with a swimming pool with no chlorine. It was a very sad, sad day. You can't jump in. You're like, I'm not risking it. But anyway, so we're in this little cottage that's supposed to have 4 or 5 people. We've already got about 7 or 8 of us jammed in there. And actually, one of the ladies is someone who we've done a lot of meetings with since, because they didn't believe any of this. So they're sitting there, and she's got some of her students. She disciples people with her. And this young girl, she preached. She gave her testimony that morning at something we were doing, and I picked up in the spirit. She's got bitterness. She still has a lot of hate in her. Her testimony is filled with poison, with bitterness. She needs some healing. So when we got back in the little cottage, I mean little too, I was like, you know, there's a lot of hurt in you. Tell me your story. And that's when she told us all this. Well, when she got to the part about dragging her grandfather up the stairs, okay, this is going to freak you, but get over it. She literally started her body got taken over by this demon of hate. And she literally, her hands went like claws. She started like making horrible growling sounds like she was going to kill us, that kind of thing. Now, this is a Bible teacher who a lot of these people knew. And nobody had any idea that something like that was in her. If this is freaking you, oh, well, I mean, even the world now knows there's some kind of evil in people. So she's really, really, really freaking out. Well, I don't like taking demons out of people or anything like that, but when they start to say they're going to kill me, I figure I probably better do something, you know? So, and I love Karen. I mean, Karen might be a little petite redhead over there, but she's not afraid. Half the people all hide in the other room. I think Needle wasn't in there. They were in another cottage. The whole place could hear us, though. Like, we look out the window, and all these people are staring at our cab because this girl is screaming, like, you know, growling and screaming and horrible sounds. And so I go to that. I don't remember what I did, but basically I go there, and I'm like, look, you've got to forgive. You have got to forgive this man who came and shot your grandfather. You've got to forgive him. He didn't know what he was doing. We've talked about this before. This is powerful. Jesus was on the cross, right? And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They just beat him beyond recognition. Nobody could tell he was a human being. No one had taken the torment and torture and was able to live through it. Everything that happened to Jesus should have killed him way before the cross, but his spirit wouldn't leave him, so he couldn't die. So he had to suffer all that, okay? So when Jesus is on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, in the natural, you'd say, what do you mean? They said crucify him. They know what they're doing. They knew what it meant to beat him. But what was Jesus saying? Because he can't lie. Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand the spirits behind this. They don't understand Satan's impact in their life. They don't understand the spirit realm. So when I'm explaining this, it's like you have to forgive him, because even that man who shot your grandfather, he knew he was killing your grandfather, but he didn't understand the spirit realm. He didn't understand what was causing him to do that. He didn't understand the spirit of greed and violence and murder. He didn't understand the generational curses. So you have to forgive him and put it in God's hands. And so she was able, so it was so amazing. So as we were ministering to her, she's growling and just crazy acting, just, you know, and then it tried to kill her, and it tries to kill her. So we're stopping it and binding it in Jesus' name. All the stuff the Bible says to do really works. And the key is to get her to forgive. And the key is to get her to say that Jesus is Lord. And as we continue, this is about a 30, 40 minute thing. She did. She broke through. And the minute she broke through and forgave, and the minute she broke through and commanded that thing to loose her, to leave, she started laughing. She laughed like crazy for about an hour. And so these other people with us also didn't believe in the Holy Spirit laughter. They didn't believe it. They totally changed. We've done conferences now 3 times at their denomination that doesn't believe in this. No, so when Marlon wrote me on Facebook today that they remembered that story. They remembered being there when that happened. So they had a young girl who came in this week who had so much hate in her, and she began to manifest this kind of anger. And they talked her through. And so he just said, thank you. The things you've shown us are producing fruit here. The things we've watched you do, Holy Spirit's now doing with us. And so she got free. And also when we prayed that Sunday, not this Sunday, but last Sunday, in the powerful way Holy Spirit came, Marlon's nephew, who had an aneurysm, he was only 24, had an aneurysm, went into a coma. They didn't know if he'd make it through the night. He was going to have to go through some very delicate surgery. He got through everything fine. He came out of the coma almost right away when we prayed, and he's talking and should be even walking really soon. Amen? Yay. So Paul's talking about this mystery of God inside of us. Come on, guys. We have allowed discouragement. The enemy has purposely discouraged you to not believe. What did we say? What did we say discouragement? It's to steal your confidence.